Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. Previously on Prison Break, America was easily distracted by a couple of cons on the lam while real murderers, tyrannical oligarchs that kill billions worldwide, are having meetings about their organized crimes. That story in a moment, but first, medical data, cyber criminals, holy grail, now the espionage target. An interesting piece from Reuters noting whoever was behind the latest theft of personal data from U.S. government computers, they appear to be following a new trend set by cyber criminals, targeting increasingly valuable medical data, medical records, and personnel files. This data, experts say, is worth a lot more to cyber criminals than, say, credit card info. And the Office of Personnel Management Breach, OPM breach, last week suggests cyber spies may now also be finding value in it. Cyber investigators from iSight Partners said they linked the OPM hack to earlier thefts of healthcare records from Anthem, Inc., a health insurance company, and Premera Blue Cross, a healthcare services provider. Tens of millions of records were probably lost in those attacks. All these breaches have one thing in common, said John Holtquist of the Dallas-based iSight. While espionage usually focuses on stealing commercial or government secrets, these attacks targeted personally identifiable information. The stolen data doesn't appear to have been monetized, and the actors seem to have connections to cyber espionage activity, said Holtquist, adding that none of the data stolen in the earlier attacks have turned up for sale on underground forums. He said iSight could not confirm that China was behind the attacks, but similar methods, servers, and habits of the hackers pointed to a single state-sponsored group. James, this is something we've been tracking for years now, haven't we?
We absolutely have. And if this sounds like a broken record, that's because this is a trend. This is going to continue happening. So this story is just one of many, many, many more to come and many that we have covered in the past. And of course, we're going to get the same tired garbage from these groups investigating it. Oh, it's the same servers, methods, and tactics of these people. It clearly is China. I mean, it's just total 100% nonsense. They could say anything. Oh, it's clearly the Czech Republic or whatever. I mean, they could say anything. And how are we going to disprove it? We can't, because there's nothing to grasp here. So this is the new normal. But I think what's interesting about this particular instantiation of this story is that now we're starting to see what are the possible uses for these types of virtual false flags, because that's undoubtedly what these are. And here it is. Senators want China kept out of currency club over hacking. So now you have four U.S. senators writing to the IMF and Christine Lagarde, oh, please keep China out of the special drawing rights basket because they're hackers. Look, we've got the proof. Oh, well, we don't actually have proof, but we can assert that they were the ones behind this hack. So this is it. This is exactly what we're talking about. Steering geopolitics in this or that direction in whatever way you want. Simply by saying that that person over there, they hacked honest. So this, I think, is exactly what this is going to be used for. The China SDR kind of smokescreen, I think, yeah, there are some senators who don't want China in the SDR basket, sure, but I think overall the agenda is that China's going to get in. But it's interesting to see the way this is developing, and I think, again, this is just the leading edge of what is undoubtedly going to be a much more more common trend in the coming years.
I'm reminded about a lot of this, just even sort of on the regular people ground floor level, of the complete fallibility of all the move to sort of cloud-based systems. I've heard someone say the other day, like, oh man, I thought I was going to be late clocking in for work, but the stupid web login doesn't work anyway. And that's really what it happens, because we've got these systems that are now rolled out. And obviously they're not going to work because they're being run at the top by people who don't care, and given to people at the bottom who don't really know or understand how it all works, unfortunately. A couple of related headlines, James, under this sort of cyber espionage heading, if you will. Fake mobile towers are actively listening in on UK phone calls, and the so-called Justice Department subpoenas Reason.com to identify commenters on a Silk Road post. So, James, for me, it's all this. We're supposed to be more concerned about kids breaking into a swimming pool and maybe people trading drugs on the web, more than massive looting and lying being done in our own name. It's a constant game of misdirection. And here in the States, as it heads into the summer, it reaches kind of ridiculous proportions. So let's move, James, to our second story this week, and it's probably the hottest one, the one that gets the most buzz, and that's Bilderberg 2015. Forget G7. Bilderberg's where the bigger guns go. Charlie Skelton reports for The Guardian, and he's an interesting one, mainline journalist who actually looked into this several years ago and said, oh my God, there is this huge meeting. Nobody talks about it. As the G7 summit closes, another summit opens. Today, Thursday, June 11th, as I come to you, it's the start of the influential Bilderberg Policy Conference, which this year is being held in Austria. Golly, just 16 miles south of the G7 summit that just wrapped up 2 days ago, and in a similarly inaccessible luxury alpine resort like the G7. The participant list for the conference has just been released by the organization, and the big names leap off the page. The main players: NATO, Google, Goldman, Airbus, PayPal, BBC, Pepsi, you name it. James, what are you watching for this year at Bilderberg 2015, if anything?
Well, I think there's a couple of interesting things here. One is that generally it's the other way around, isn't it? They usually go to Bilderberg and then go off to G7 or whatever major conference is taking place, as in they get their sort of game plan together at Bilderberg and then they go out and implement that agenda. This time it seems to be the reverse, which I don't know how to read that precisely. Perhaps rather than making sort of the implementation at G7, perhaps they're going to Bilderberg to decide what to do for the rest of the year. I don't know. I think one topic in particular that is definitely worth keeping our eye on is the cashless society. I think we've seen so many different stories in the last few months around that idea in particular that I think that's probably going to be some sort of topic of discussion there. But I think you're right to say, I mean, there's a lot of buzz about Bilderberg in the alt media, and of course, you know, the usual in the mainstream media. They'll maybe do a story on, oh yeah, and there's this conference that these crazy conspiracy theorists think is important. Now let's go cover Caitlyn Jenner or whatever. Yes, I mean, we get the usual kind of stuff. But I think we should also, let's not forget, I think I stressed this last year and the year before and the year before that, but it's really true. This is just one conference of many, 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 many meetings that take place throughout the year in all sorts of different forums. And we'll throw some links in the show notes to some related types of events. There's Financial Stability Board meetings. Who even knows what the FSB is? But those are the guys that are drafting the white papers for the central banks to implement on such things as bail-ins and things like that. Doing all of that really quite out in the open, but might as well be secret because no one bothers to look into them. You have secret meetings in London about the cashless society. You have trilateral commission meetings take place all the time. There's the annual meeting that I think just took place recently. All of these types of meetings taking place all the time, all year. Let's not just concentrate on Bilderberg, although it's obviously an interesting one. But let's keep in mind that these people are conspiring all the time. And in this day and age, they don't need to physically meet every year. They do. I mean, demonstrably so. But telepresence and things like that are getting to the point where they might as well not meet in public. So let's not throw all our eggs in the Bilderberg basket.
James, I think in some way this is like our talk about Jade Helm a couple of months ago. There's always a confluence of war games and drills going on, but I think we're kind of missing the fascist forest for the Terra Nova trees, if you will, in some of these ways. And I don't want to diss the great work that Dan Dix and Luke Rakowski and even We Are Change Rotterdam are doing out there. On an interesting note, James, the other day I screened a movie called The Conspiracy from 2011. When filmmakers decide to make a documentary about conspiracy theorists, they turn their lens on Terrence, a crazed street preacher, of course, with a bullhorn. After Terrence inexplicably disappears, the filmmakers become obsessed with uncovering the truth and infiltrating the fictional Tarsus Club. It's sort of a fictionalized Bohemian Grove, which is also coming up soon. That starts on July 11th. And the film is pretty much the story about being co-opted by the powers that shouldn't be. It's kind of like Blair Witch plus Loose Change plus Eyes Wide Shut, The Conspiracy. So we'll include links to that. I found it actually a really well-done film out of Canada, James. So there's an important...
Contradiction in terms? Sorry. I'm Canadian. I can say that.
So there are a lot of important, interesting New World Next Week headlines, but let's get our final segment this week, and it's another Good News Next Week segment. As the Washington Post reports, disillusioned black voters ask, is voting even worth it? during those two electric Novembers, the chance to elect a black president and then keep him in office, seized Regina Motley's neighborhood. Neighborhood, you know, nightclubs are registering voters, churches held fish fries and loaded buses that ferried parishioners to the polls, trucks hoisted big signs that said Obama, and residents waited in long lines at precincts across the community. But as Motley and some friends sought shade recently under a mulberry tree and looked across the landscape of empty lots and abandoned houses that's persisted there, they wondered, would they ever bother voting again? What's the point? Motley, age 23, a grocery store clerk, said, "We made history, but I don't see change." James, this is a pretty long kind of human interest angle story, but it actually kind of shows the cold machinations behind Obama and Hillary and all the rest of the phony left cover gang. But I ask you, is this really a good news story?
I will confess that I brought this to your attention because it is an aspirationally good news story, not necessarily, and certainly not the way they spin it. If you go and read through the whole article, it's really more about, oh, how can we get these people back into the fold to go to march to the voting booth and participate in their civic duty again. So obviously the way they're spinning this story, no. But I thought just that kernel of the idea, suddenly we have this huge block of disillusioned voters who really did believe in all the hope and change nonsense, and now see it for the nonsense that it is and was. It is that moment of opportunity, that window where all of those info guns we can fire should be brought to bear on these fertile minds that are waiting to hear that, you know what, voting isn't the answer. This is the phony release safety valve that they've given the public. And you know what? We've got to stop giving them that power. And I really do believe right now is that window of opportunity. If they get suckered into the next election, then it just all goes back to the status quo, because people just tend to go with the flow and continue to go along. But here's that chance where the train could run on a different track. And of course, it's not just black voters who voted for Obama. It's a lot of people who fell for that hope and change, or whatever iteration of it, not just in the United States, but all around the world. People are disillusioned with the political nonsense and looking for a different answer. Well, hey guys, here's a little something. It's called voluntarism. Here's complementary currencies. Here's peer-to-peer economy. All these other things that have nothing to do with the phony political game that they dangle before your face. So I don't know. I want to read this as a good story, because at the very least it shows that there is that possibility. There's that kernel, and all it needs is a little bit of water to grow into a large and mighty oak tree of liberty and freedom, I hope.
I would make the note, of course, too. I think what we're talking about is the big national federal BS kind of shows that we're all supposed to focus on. And all you have to do is look here in America and go, oh God, who are winners going to be this time around? Oh, Bush, Clinton. That should pretty much tell you all you need to know. However, local elections do have power, and that is where change that will actually affect you in your day-to-day life happens, whether or not it's stopping them from putting fluoride in your water or letting you have the ability to grow a garden in your backyard. Those kind of local moves is where a lot of action is happening. Another good news note, James, Dutch Paddy Power pulls electricity from rice fields. I always find a lot of these innovations and invention stories really good news next week kind of stories. But some of the other New World Next Week updates we are following, and we've got a fantastic bunch of people who submit stories to us all the time using hashtag New World Next Week. James, there's no way you and I could kind of track the zeitgeist around the world without everybody out there giving us stories from literally all around the world. So here in America, more prostitute politicians as McDonald's hires ex-Obama press secretary Robert Gibbs. That's a fun one. More pedophile politicians. Dennis Hastert makes his first court appearance in child molestation hush money case. And a new book called Go-Betweens for Hitler shows the UK family, the royal family, if you will, was far closer to the Nazis than is ever recognized. Meanwhile, LIBOR rigging is just a conspiracy theory, says the Fed-rated Deutsche Bank. So again, these aren't the droids you're looking for, James. Manhattan investment banker falls 24 stories to his death in the latest Wall Street suicide. U.S. government loses 7 Fort Knox gold audit reports. And whoops, the Pentagon accidentally sent live anthrax to labs via FedEx. And this from Press TV, U.S. military may have inadvertently shipped live anthrax to labs in Australia. Oh, Pentagon shipped live anthrax samples to Canada. Pentagon says we don't actually know how much anthrax we mailed ourselves. So again, that should sort of let you know, what should you be more afraid of? One, I don't think you should really be afraid of anything, but the things to be concerned about: kids in a pool party, some guys that broke out of jail, or murderers that mailed deadly pathogens through a route throughout the world. And Darren in the UK at Dazzle Theory notes, South Korea and its vitality and its connection to global economics has a MERS outbreak, and could that affect another global financial crash? Our buddy Brock West is also looking at that same thing, and I think you guys will probably get into that in an upcoming episode of Asia Pacific Perspective. So James, finally, spoiler alert on that prison break, it was an inside job, literally. But we can, I think, as you were noting before, use these moments kind of as a teachable moment. So maybe at the water cooler tomorrow, something like this, you can see, oh man, so those escaped convicts were helped out by a guard. It's almost like a movie, man. And it seems like nobody's talking about the hundreds more troops Obama sending back to Iraq to fight ISIS, which, you know, the Pentagon's own report said was created by the U.S. and CIA to topple Syria. It's almost like that whole prison break thing is a distraction. Well, have a good weekend.
Exactly. Yes, very good. Well, teachable moment. That's a good idea. I think there's lots of teachable moments in today's episode, and I hope every episode of New World next week. So lots of food for thought. And as always, dozens and dozens of links in the show notes. Please do make use of them as the resource that they are. James, until next week, thank you again. Let's talk to you soon.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.